Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Blood, sweat, brother, your sister. I'm not your sugar or your tough tongue blister. I'm not anything you need or want.
404 DGS. We will be out of here at 4:30 on the dot to make room for Matt Pauly to do the pregame show, and then the Cardinals play tonight at 5:35 against Baltimore again, and then again tomorrow.
Same thing. Maybe a little rain, too, today and tomorrow. So we're going to keep an eye on that and see if there's any delays or anything along those lines today. Yeah. They're going to play, and looking at their weather, it's probably going to clear up by the latest 7 o'clock their time, and it doesn't look like heavy rain right now. So they may be on time, but even if they're not, they'll play tonight, it looks like. So
is this one of those, like, I always find it fascinating where you're like, they're going to get these in.
They will, today and tomorrow. And it's supposed to rain in Baltimore tomorrow, too.
Yeah.
So that's going to leave them with less incentive to be like, ah, we'll just play a doubleheader tomorrow, because Cardinals are not coming back to Baltimore this year.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to play these games one way or the other. And tonight it looks like they have at least a 3 or 4 hour window where it's okay, even if it starts. And it may not be delayed. It may be fine because it doesn't look like it's heavy rain.
Yeah.
And just because there's rain in Baltimore doesn't mean there's rain in that part of Baltimore at that specific time.
Right.
You know,
that's so just, give us a preview. We got to see it yesterday.
Yeah, a couple things. I mean, so there are a couple things that stand out for the Cardinals, at least from the Cardinals' perspective in my book. Be interesting to see how these pitching matchups go. You know, you're facing Baltimore in this series, and neither Matthew Liberatore nor Sonny Gray appear in this series. So it's not that the other guys are bad. They're just not as good as those two guys have been. And we saw Fetty struggled yesterday. But Palante's been better lately, and Michaelis has been really good for a month. And they've got matchups where it's not like Baltimore's guys have been going well either, although the guy tonight should be interesting. So Palante's pitching for the Cardinals tonight, and Tomoyuki Sugano is the pitcher for Baltimore. So it's his first year over from Japan. He's 35, so he's not a kid. And he's not a hard thrower, but he's been good. Like, he's had a really solid, you know, rookie season in the big leagues. And when you watch him tonight, Dave, you're like, it's nothing special. You know, low 90s, not getting strikeouts, but he just gets outs, man. He just doesn't walk people. So, you know, it's always interesting to me, not just the Cardinals. People take these things as Cardinal things, but it's always interesting to me when teams face somebody they've never seen before. And this is a guy that the Cardinals have never seen before. So that should make it fascinating. And since we're on the topic, let's just do our Game Day Men's Health peak performer. You can get back to the top of your game with Game Day Men's Health. Brendan Donovan, Dave, has gone another level up, right? We've always known that Brendan Donovan is good, but he's on pace to challenge the team record for doubles in a season, which is Matt Carpenter's record. And I thought there was a really interesting piece today from Derek Gould in the Post-Dispatch kind of explaining how he's kind of built his swing now for doubles because at Busch Stadium because of the way the ballpark plays. And he's using like math and geometry and an understanding of all of that to go into his drill work for hitting. And it helps him accomplish what we're talking about. So when we talk, like Bernie and I talk a lot about power, right? Power is not just home runs, it's doubles. Extra base hits are power because that's where you get runs. And he's got 18 doubles already, 3 home runs, so 21 extra base hits in a third of a season, which is a lot. He's, you know, averaging basically one every other game and hitting .328 at the same time and getting on base for almost 40%. So that guy has been, I would argue, their MVP this year. You know, I mean, maybe it would be Herrera if he hadn't missed, a month and a half or whatever it was, 5-6 weeks, if it wasn't that. But I think Donovan's the MVP with defensive versatility and doing all of the stuff offensively. Like, when you think of a 3-hole hitter, what do you think of normally? You know, you think of the 35-homer, you know, 40-homer guy, and he's not that, but I don't know where you'd be without Brendan Donovan, man. And he doesn't strike out. I mean, he's almost perfect for that spot with guys on base in front of him.
You think anyone will ever hit 400 again?
No, never. Not unless circumstances change somehow. It's almost impossible. And Ken, keep in mind, not just guys throwing harder with stuff tailored in a lab to work better, but also just the number of pitchers you see in a game. You know, when Ted Williams hit 400, he basically see the same guy four times every game. And now you might see the starter twice.
Do you
maybe
feel that
three times.
About most of the records, like 56 hitting streak, 56
yeah, that's
game.
Never happening again. That's over.
Same reasons?
Same exact reason, because, again, Joe DiMaggio, when he set that record, it's still, like, nobody did it before him either, right? It's not like it was easy to do. It's remarkable. It's one of the most amazing records in sports, but it's more impossible now than it was then because, again, Joe DiMaggio was not seeing three or four guys a game. He wasn't seeing different guys. And by the way, guys that were brought into the game whose stuff is tailored to getting him out, which is what star players face now. When you get to the sixth inning and later, the other team, if you're a star player, they're going to pick a guy in the bullpen that's going to come in to get you out because something he does is tough for you.
Yeah.
Lefty on lefty, you know, things along those lines. Or if you're a power guy, it's going to be a slider guy. Somebody that's throwing nothing but sliders low and away that you're not going to hit out of the ballpark. So it's a lot more complicated to put those kind of streaks together.
Were the pitchers not as good? They just weren't. For their day, they were.
Yeah, yeah. Relatively, they were.
But
yeah.
They would pitch. There's one guy who pitched a whole game, came in the next day in relief, and then pitched the next game the whole game.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the series.
Yeah. And it's that for their time, the elite were still the elite. Right? It's just a different elite, like track and field. Was Jesse Owens not the best in the world in his time? Right, but he's not nearly as fast as the guys now. The guys that run and jump now are running faster and jumping further now, and it's kind of the same thing in team sports. It doesn't mean that you're better, because better is all relative to your peers. Yeah, it's all it is. You know, so nobody would care if, let's just say, I'm pulling this number out of my rear end, but if the 100 fastest guy in the world is what Jesse Owens ran, nobody cares about that guy right now. It's still amazing. Like in terms of history, it's amazing. But right now, you're not relevant because it's all about your peers. It's about how much you stand out from the group.
Yeah.
And on that, did you see these aren't Cardinals things, Dave? But did you see these things that happened this weekend? Did you see the O'Neill Cruz home run?
No.
The hardest ball ever recorded.
No.
123 miles an hour. So it was the hardest hit recorded on StatCast. There could have been harder hit balls in the past. But the hardest one ever recorded was this one, 123 miles an hour. And did you see the Detroit pitcher, Tarek Skubal? So he threw a complete game shutout, which is rare in today's game. And I don't know if you've tracked this language or not, but like in baseball now, since Greg Maddux, anybody that throws a complete game less than 100 pitches, it's a Maddux. So this one was less than 100 pitches. So 94 pitches, complete game, two hits, no walks, 13 strikeouts. Arguably one of the five most dominant performances in the last 10, 15 years. Just unbelievable, like, in the same weekend, those two things are happening. And the last pitch of the game for Skubal was 103 miles an hour.
Jeez.
His 94th pitch was 102.8, I think it was, but it rounded up to 103. On the 94th pitch of the game, he throws 102.8.
And wasn't he, like, an eighth-round pick?
Yeah, something like that, eighth, ninth-round pick. Just funny how that comes out, though, because he was, you know, he's from the Pacific Northwest, which isn't as heavily scouted because the weather doesn't really, you know, allow you to play as much as you would in the Sun Belt states. And he played at Seattle University, so not a big school, and just a late bloomer. That's all it was. Like if he had started to peak 2 years before, he's probably pitching at Southern Cal, and he's, you know, a first round draft pick, but.
If you were the manager or if you were Mozeliak, what would you do with Arenado?
Boy, that's a great question. So I think it might be in his best interest to play less, even though he would disagree with that. It would accomplish a couple things. I mean, one, he might hit better with a little more rest because his offense was okay in April, but it's been bad in May. It's been back to where it was last year. The problem is he's so good defensively. Like the play going into the netting the other day against Arizona, that's ridiculous. He makes plays all the time that you just shake your head like nobody makes that play. Nobody makes that play, but he does, which is why he's going to stay out there. But I would still think he might be better off I'm talking about maybe an extra day off a week. I'm not talking about like sitting five and playing
platooning,
two. I'm talking about like an extra day a week that he wouldn't get off. Gets Nolan Gorman or Jordan Walker extra at bats. Gets him some rest, which could contribute to...
Serves a couple of purposes.
And again, it can't make the offense for him worse because the offense is bad.
Yeah.
And he's down to sixth right now. He should probably be hitting eighth. I mean, again, not I'm not picking on the guy. I love this player. There's nothing to not like about Arenado because nobody holds himself to a higher standard. Like, when he's not good, he'll tell you, I stink. I'm not good enough. And
how
he'll go
he
to the
good
manager.
Offensively when he was good?
Well, I mean... So he was just able to make more quality contact. He's always had some deficiencies, right? He's never had the best bat speed. He's never had the hardest hit rate, but he pulls the ball in the air. And when you're in Colorado, that leads to home runs when you pull the ball in the air. And even in his first couple of years here, when he pulled the ball in the air, he could hit it out of the ballpark. And more often than not, now they're fly balls. He's hitting more ground balls than he used to. And what's interesting is he doesn't strike out very much. He never really has. And he doesn't usually walk very much. But it's mostly just seems like age. Like, he's 34. And every player's aging curve is a little different. But we know that basically 32 on, it can change fast. And it's been a slow change, really, for Arenado, right? It's been a gradual, like, 2.5 year thing. He's not done. He's still a valuable player. But playing a little less could benefit him from a physical standpoint because nobody works harder for him. And sometimes those guys, you need to make them take time off.
Yeah.
And doing that also creates some of the at-bats for the other guys you're talking about. Because, like, you look at a lineup like tonight, you know, when Herrera's the DH, you're going to have two guys of Burleson, Walker, and Gorman. Two of those are out of the lineup when Herrera DHs. And he's going to be in there because he's killing it. So how do you get more at-bats for people? Maybe some of the veterans get an extra day here, maybe to recharge the batteries.
Have you had enough of Gorman to tell anything yet?
Nah, I haven't, but I mean, I understand that the position he's in right now is he's got to do it or this will be it. Like, this year will be it.
What do you mean by that?
Like, I think if we don't see him earn the opportunity to be a more regular offensive contributor by performing well, I'd be willing to bet he won't be here next year. Not that they're going to dump him, but I mean, we talked about this actually on Redbird Rush Hour yesterday, Matt, Paulie, and I. It's a lot easier for the new guy to move on from a player as opposed to the people that drafted him and developed him and have like time and money invested in him, right? Chaim Bloom doesn't have any of that, so he's probably going to assess it a little differently, especially if this year doesn't go that well. And when you think about what you already have, Donovan's already an established star player for you. And that's one of the positions that he plays, and he's better at that position than Nolan Gorman is. You're going to have Arenado next year. I don't see a scenario where they're going to be able to trade him, not with the way he's looking at the plate right
now.
And
is that because no one's going to eat enough salary?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Teams would take him, but you have to eat almost all of that money to do it. And I don't know that they have the willingness to do that. And J.J. Weatherholt's tearing up Double-A. I mean, that guy's one of the top 20, 25 prospects in baseball, maybe a top 10 or 12 by the end of this year.
Would Gorman get you much if he was not packaged with other players?
Probably not. Probably
not. So someone could get a real good deal.
That's the thing that worries teams, right? Is that if you sell low on the guy and then he does figure it out and he hits 25, 30 home runs, well, then everybody yells at you for being stupid because you couldn't fix
it. Which is maddening, but not how you can run your business.
No, you have to make the decisions based on the moment, right? And just like look at what the Cardinals got for Tyler O'Neill when they traded him. It's basically nothing. They got a reliever that never ended up making their team. They just got rid of him. And it was in part because of the money he was due to make, and he only had 1 year left of team control. Gorman has more years left and makes less money, so he'd get more than that. But it would most likely be a lower level prospect, or I don't know, maybe in a package deal you get a relief pitcher or something. You know, but it's hard because there's no playing time for him to show that he's going to do better.
So Palante's going tonight?
Yeah. And again,
he seems to me, as a guy in the bleachers, to be either really good or not good at all.
That's kind of been the way it's been this year. He's made 10 starts this year. Now, he's a guy that's going to battle with bad luck sometimes because he doesn't strike anybody out. So when you don't strike people out,
things can happen.
You're kind of, you know, the ball's going to get hit. Where is it going to get hit? But if you look at his starts this year, it's kind of all over the place. You'll get a couple, you know, he had two or three good ones to start the year, and then he had three or four bad ones, and now he's had a couple of good ones and a mediocre one. it is kind of hit or miss because there's no wiggle room. You know, when you allow a lot of contact, you're at the mercy of where they hit it, who's playing in that position at a given time. You know, I mean, a ball that's hit 80 miles an hour can be an easy out. It can be a single down the left field line. But when the ball's in play, things can happen that you can't control as a pitcher.
Only a third of the way through the season, but do you see Fetty with us next year?
No, he'll be gone. He's a free agent. And if you look at next year, Sonny Gray will be back. I don't think they're going to trade him, not based on the way things have gone this year. The team's pretty good. I mean, they're on a 90-win pace. So unless something changes dramatically in the next couple of months, you'll want him back. Matthew Liberatore will be in the rotation next year. And then all the other guys, well, Palante's back too, so Palante could be in there. But McGreevy's got a chance to be in there. And then their top prospect, Quinn Matthews, would have a chance. And maybe they add from the outside to kind of supplement that and not rely as much on the unproven dudes. But it'll be a different rotation next year. And I think from a stuff perspective, it'll be better.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years, guaranteed, on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.